John chapter 21, verse number 1. John 21 and 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth, entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. If you'd skip back just a few books to the Old Testament, the book of Haggai. That's just toward the end of the Old Testament. Chapter 1. Page 947, for those of you in the King James Bible. That's a joke. There's all sorts of different prints. Amen. Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 5. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Amen. I be honest with you tonight, I have two messages that I really have on my heart tonight. I'm only going to preach one, but I really have two. Amen. But I feel like this is where the Lord would take us tonight. And I want to talk to you for just a few moments from this subject, a night of fruitless toil. A night of fruitless toil. That word toil there simply means hard or exhausting work. A night of fruitless toil. Amen. You know, I need the help of the Holy Ghost tonight so very much. Amen. We need a move of the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm going to ask you to lift your voice one more time and help me pray for the favor of God. Come on, let's pray for that anointing we need. Would you lift your voice? I'm asking everybody, lift your voice. Let's pray right now. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We honor your great name, God. Pray for that anointing tonight, God. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. All the glory, God, and all the honor, God, it belongs to you and you alone, God. We thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I picture in my mind seven men who come to this beach, no doubt wearing the coarse garb that fishermen of that day would wear. I don't know what they look like, but I would imagine that their faces have maybe more of a bronze tint from all of the exposure to the wind and the sun and the elements of nature. And here's some men. Things have changed, and these men began to ply their hard and homely trade of fishing. That's what they were. They were fishermen. And we read the story, and I can see these men having pushed off a sufficient distance from the shoreline. They cast their nets into the depth of the sea, and they are fishing. They are trying to come up with that prize. That's their goal. That's their ambition. But yet they bring the net up only to find that it is empty. And I'm a fisherman. I love to fish. Amen. In fact, right now, my brother is fishing with my dad, and I'm a little jealous because, amen, they're fishing. But I love to bass fish, and I've spent a lot of hours on the lake. And you don't fish just one little area. And some people don't like to fish because they don't catch anything. I said that's why it's called fishing and not catching, because you're searching, you're fishing. And so these fishermen, no doubt, when they let down their net there and didn't catch anything, they began to make their way further down the coastline. But yet the Bible said they caught nothing. And they began to make their way, no doubt, down this side of the shoreline and let down their net. And yet they caught nothing. And so here are these men, no doubt, rowing deeper out into the water, coming near to the shoreline, back and forth, everywhere they went, letting down the net and always drawing it up, only to have their hopes diminished by more disappointments. And I would imagine after hours and hours of rowing and hours of letting down the nets and bring them back again, their hands are swollen with dragging the dripping net. Their back, no doubt, has become weary from pulling the laboring oars as the constant waves try to push them further away from their desired destination. And so on they went that night, laboring and laboring, producing failure after failure. And so they spend the long hours of the weary night in fruitless toil. In fact, that's the words of the Apostle Peter in Luke chapter 5 when he said, "We've toiled all night." That's pain. That means we've exerted. We are exhausted. Amen. We've labored. We've struggled. We've battled all night long. And for all of their laboring, they've got nothing to show. They've worked and they've worked, but they've gained nothing. They've labored and they've labored and they've toiled all night long. But yet their own words were, "We've caught nothing." They've given it their best shot. They've done all they know to do, and yet they're no closer to reaching their goal than when they first began hours prior to this moment. They're no closer to being satisfied, amen, than when they first begun. They've labored all night long, but they've got no fruit to show. They've got no fish in their boat. They've labored all night long, but yet they've caught nothing. And they're weary. And they're tired, and they are distraught, and they're disappointed, and they are hungry, and they're no doubt depressed, and they've fought, and they've worked, and they've labored all night long. And I read this, and I wonder what was the mood of the fishermen. I wonder what was the tone of their conversation. Had they really grasped what was going on around them? While no doubt trying to process the past, wondering what does the future hold for us. No doubt maybe their attitudes were laced with somewhat of anger and frustration. Amen. Since they had seen their Lord treated the way he was, and this wasted effort to simply feed their famished bellies was only making matters worse for them. It was a night of fruitless toil. And so finally, here they are, and they're weary, and they're disappointed, and deprived of the master, of the presence of their master. Amen. And they're toiling, and they're laboring all night long, and they
take nothing. And they feel like they've wasted an entire night of their lives. Nothing to show. Nothing to gain. A backache. A headache. A handache. They've wasted their time. They've wasted their energy. And they've toiled all night long. And as unfortunate as this story may seem to be, I've come to preach to this good host of people tonight that this world that you and I are a part of is full of poor souls who spend years, yea, a lifetime, as these same disciples did, toiling in darkness and perplexity, and yet taking nothing. They're laboring and they're laboring and they're pushing and they're fighting and they're struggling, going here and they're going there, back and forth, trying to find this bit of peace and trying to find this bit of happiness, and yet they're laboring their lives away and they've gained nothing. They've got nothing to show. They've got no real joy. They've got no real peace of mind. They've got not God in their lives. And they've worked their lives, and yet they have gained nothing worth living for. You and I know tonight of those who have put forth great effort, and they've poured out all of their strength, coming to the end of their life without ever finding something worth living for. They've lived their lives, but for what purpose? They've lived their lives, but yet for what gain? All they know is punch the time clock. All they know is a Friday night drink, a Saturday night high, and do it all again the next day. And they're living a rat race, and they're working, and they're laboring without God in their lives, without joy and peace of mind. And they work and they labor, but yet they've gained nothing worth living for. Oh, let's give God some praise. I'm telling you, this world we're living in is full of the disappointed and the unhappy. I said it the other night, I'm going to say it again. It's one of the problems with modern technology. It's one of the problems with Facebook and Instagram, is that people are trying to paint a beautiful picture that does not exist. They're trying to paint that their lives are so full of such joy and peace of mind, but yet that's one snapshot, that's one captured moment, and a life beyond that picture, amen, is a life of despair and thoughts of suicide and great darkness that envelops their life, amen. This world is not happy. This world has nothing to gain or to rejoice about, but thank God for the church of the living God. Thank God for the night you laid aside the weights and the sins. And thank God you got the Holy Ghost. And there's real joy and real peace in the Holy Ghost. Those around us who set their hearts upon securing that which gained or not can never satisfy the deepest want of a soul. I hope I'm not wasting my time here tonight, but I'm preaching to somebody. Every heart has a void. Every life has a longing for. And I've come to stand flat foot and tell somebody, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can feel the longing in your heart. Only Jesus is the Holy Ghost, the comforter of all mankind. Amen. You don't get peace by going to a ballroom. You don't get real joy by some drug somewhere. Only God can feel the void and the longing in every heart and every soul. And I still proclaim, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I don't need your worldly thrills. I found something worth living for. But the world world would tell you that it's in the money. It's in the fame. It's in popularity and notoriety. It's in respect. Shallow things. It's amazing how nobody likes you until you get a little money. And everybody's your friend. Does that mean you're any better? No. It's because what's attached to you. Amen. The world tells us that it's in all these simple, frivolous things that we are living for. If I could have this and if I could have that, a little bit more money, a little bit better life, amen, oh, I'd be a whole lot happier. The problem is that money and fame and worldly things doesn't fill the void that's in a man's soul. Many years ago, it was McAfee. I believe his first name was John McAfee. He was the creator of the antivirus program, the founder of McAfee. Years ago, he sold the business for $100 million. I read an article that said he moved to Belize and he was living the ultimate high. But yet in November of 2012, he was wanted for murder. I saw a picture of him and his wife sitting on a floor surrounded by guns because they thought everybody's out to get them. Here's a man with all of that fame. Here's a man with all that money. Here's a man with all the things the world promotes. But yet that man is running like a wild animal. Amen. He can't sleep at night. He's got no joy. He's got no peace. I'm telling somebody, what you need is not more money and not more fame, but what you need is a baptism of the Holy Ghost to bring real fulfillment in your life. Come on, church, 5 weeks of revival, and here we are tonight. I need somebody to shake the chains off of them tonight. Though men have tried other things, they've tried alcohol, they've turned to drugs, but yet they've learned it doesn't satisfy. Amen. They've turned to money, they've turned to sexual relations, they strive and work for fame and notoriety, they've tried to lose themselves in the party scene. Amen. They lose themselves in their work and their entertainment venues. And even suffered great despair when they learned that not even their own family can fill the void in their lives. Nothing can satisfy the longing. That's why, man, the alcohol drinking gets worse because it doesn't satisfy. The drug use gets worse. It doesn't satisfy. The sexual relations get nastier because they don't satisfy. I'm telling somebody, only Jesus can fill the void in your life. I don't mean you accepting Christ. I mean Christ filling your heart and your mind and changing your life. He alone is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the great I am, Jesus, God in flesh, living in the hearts of men.
Amen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we read about the experience of a wise man. Solomon said, I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. Here's a man that had everything life could throw his way. He had fame.
He had riches. He had popularity. He had great respect. Amen. The Bible said, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. There was nobody wealthier, nobody wiser, nobody smarter, nobody more popular. He was the highest of the high. He had everything life could offer this man. He had everything the world could give.
And he said, I had this and I had that. He said, I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. He said, I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. He said, this was my portion of all my labor. He said, I worked for this and I worked for that and I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. He said, and when I got everything that I wanted, he said, this is what I was left with. He said, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. I want to ask somebody tonight, what are you laboring for tonight? What are you striving for? When you get out of your bed every day, what's on your mind? What motivates you? I want to preach to a younger generation. What drives you? What motivates you? Well, I'm just going to meddle a little bit here tonight. But I'm tired of an unmotivated generation that's got wonderful thumb muscles and terrible work ethics. Which one of you boys plays the bass in this church? That's my point. Who's the next drummer? Where's the next singer? Where's the work? This is my second message, so I'm going to get on it. Where's the passion? Where's the zeal? Where's the drive? So if there's a place, I'll stand in the gap. But yet, dear God, we got to drag out of bed at 11 o'clock every morning. Amen. 23 years old and ain't got a job. Never had a job. Amen. We came and bounced a checkbook. I want to ask somebody, what drives you? Where are the people of God that's driven to succeed in life and the kingdom of God? Come on, where's the prayer warriors? Where's the leaders of tomorrow's generation at? Amen. But we've got a generation that's become so lazy, that's entitled to this. 35 years old, still living at mama's house. Amen. We've got a generation that has no drive, no passion, no work ethic. They're so lazy. They're so unmotivated. So, I'm getting off my subject. That's all right. And so we got kids that go to school and could care less. And don't realize if you don't do good in school and don't make good grades, you're probably going to not get the help to go to a good college and get a good degree to get a good job to help buy the next church building. Because you're going to build a new sanctuary flipping hamburgers at McDonald's. And there you are, unmotivated hamburger flipper, and your wife's a sandwich maker, and that's all you are, and you're going to church, and there's other folks going on vacation, and you can't afford them to blow your nose. I'm telling somebody, you got to get motivated and say, I will be something for the kingdom of God. I am motivated. I'm not contradicting myself. I'm telling you, God's people ought to be the most blessed people on God's green earth. Come on, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The favor of God ought to be on your life.
and they say, I like that boy, I like that girl.
Why? Ooh, I'm way off of it. But why are the denominational churches producing all the lawyers and all the doctors and all the bankers and all the real estate agents? We're producing lawnmowers and landscapers and hamburger flippers. Because we're, y'all be saying it ain't that good. Come on. I've got 4 kids, believe it or not, I do. I got to teach myself every other day to make sure that's really true. And I pray to God they're a whole lot more than daddy is. I hope they're a whole lot more motivated. I hope they're a whole lot more spiritual. Let me get back on my subject here today. Where are the young men and young women that say, I'm going to get a prayer life beyond what my daddy has and beyond what my granddaddy has. I come to church every morning. I'm praying. I'm going to talk in tongues. I'll fast by myself. I'll knock doors by myself. Come on. I'll learn the bass. I'll learn the drums. I'll learn the guitar. I'll learn the organ. I'll learn the piano. I can sing. I'll lead song service. I am motivated.
But yet we've got a generation. We've got a generation. Let me use this little piece of demonic technology here. Listen, I don't have Wi-Fi. If y'all see me typing on this thing, I'm not texting. I don't have Wi-Fi. I'm gonna have internet on this thing. This is my notes in my Bible, stuff like that. But we've got a generation that's glued to this. I haven't seen the iPhone 10, but I think it's about like this iPad right here. Hello? But this generation, they don't answer the phone. They text everything. I mean, they don't put their phone on ring, because if they did, the text alert would go off every 3 seconds. And so they got their earphones in their head all the time, and they text in, they got apps, and they live on this thing. They live on this thing. And they wonder why this generation is so out of touch, and this generation is so out of shape and lazy. There's an insurance commercial. Hey, I'm getting way off, but it's all right. Hey, amen. This insurance commercial says, "Can you run an 8-minute mile? And if you can, hey, amen, then you know you can." You can qualify for better insurance. I thought 8 minutes, man. I remember we used to do it in 4 something when I was a kid. Amen. And this generation, they may not can. I don't know. Amen. But I'm talking about an overall mentality here. Amen. It says, I want to do something for God. Amen. We've got to get these kids out of bed and get them motivated. Because what bleeds, what it is in the earthly and carnal realm splashes over into the heavenly realm. Amen. If they're not motivated in the world, they won't be motivated in the church. I want to be something for God. I want God to anoint me and God to use me and be a and fulfill a purpose. What's your purpose in life? When they stand over your grave and talk about your life, what are they going to say about you? Well, they were a mean texter. Man, they had 15 million followers on whatever they had. Well, isn't that great? Couldn't fix a car. Couldn't pay their rent. Some of y'all don't know what I'm doing, but I know what I'm doing, okay? I know what I'm doing tonight, amen. Don't try to figure it out. Just let me do what I'm doing tonight, amen. I'm trying to tell somebody, what? Don't grow up and be a street thug. Don't grow up and be somebody's little pimp or somebody's little harlot. Don't be somebody's little toy. Thank you for a Baptist amen, church. Amen. I'm trying to tell somebody that there's a whole lot more for you than what you've got, where you're headed. If you'll give God one chance to turn your life around, you can be more than what your mother was and your daddy was and your whole family was. Let God make something out of your life. I'm talking to somebody today, amen. If all you know is street walking and all you know is drugs and alcohol and party and living off the government,
living in a broke down shack, and parents that cuss and fight all night. World that you don't know your daddy, you don't know your mama. I'm going to tell somebody there's a whole lot better life than that. Don't look at me and wonder what I'm doing and why I act this way. I'll tell you why I act this way. And such were some of you, but you've been washed. The Bible said, hey, thank God, that's what I was. But thank God, he brought me out and he changed me. Oh, let's give him praise together. Come on. Now, I said all that, and you said, brother, what does that do? Here's the simple point. Solomon said, I had all these things and had nothing to show for it. I'm asking you right now, what do you have to show for what you've done? What's your story? What's your glory story? What have you accomplished? What have you done? If it's not for God, it's not worth talking about. That's what Solomon was saying. I've got all this stuff. I've labored all night long. But I looked at everything I had and I thought, there's no glory to God in this. I'm going to be real plain. But if your life doesn't give glory to God, your life is being wasted. I'm in the Holy Ghost church. I don't know if you know what's going on right now. I'm trying to convince somebody, if you don't use your life for the glory of God, your life's being wasted. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. I better not go there. Amen. Come on. There's something inside of me that says, God, I want you to use me for your glory, God, because someday I've got to give account for the life that I lived. And God don't care about my money or my fame or my social following. He wants to know, what did you do for my kingdom's sake? What I'm doing right now is completely contrary to all that you've heard and all you know. It's me, 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 survival of the fittest. I've got to survive. It's me, 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 me. No, it's not. Oh, no, it's not. It's him. This is not a religion. This is a lifestyle. This is an experience. You say, you folks have lost your mind. You better believe I've lost my mind, because the book still says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. I'm not my own. I haven't bought the price. The Bible says that your body is not even your own body. It's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, I know this feministic world says, well, it's my body. I can do what I want to with it. That's not what the Bible says. You're bought with a price. Your body belongs to him. And he tells you how to act, how to dress it, how to use that body. It's for the glory of God. Man, you people are crazy. Y'all just church, 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 church. Well, guess what? What else is there to do? Someday you've got to stand before God and give an account for your life. At that moment, I promise you, you're going to wish you had gone to more church and prayed around the altar more and had less junk in your life and did more for God. Maybe this is why. I was going to say this for Sunday morning, but I didn't think it fit tonight. But maybe this is why. Last night, laying in bed, I was reading. And you can do what you want to with it. This is just me. I had this overwhelming sensation that trumpet was about to sound. I'm talking about it was so powerful. It's just me. So powerful. I put the book down. I started praying. Oh, God, is this it? Is this the quickening? And I started praying. Oh, God, you talk about searching your heart and searching life. And I'm thinking, any moment the trumpet's going to sound. And it was all so real. I mean, I got out of bed. I got down the side of the bed. I was praying, God, I got to be saved. God, at that moment, money didn't matter. At that moment, social status, it didn't matter. At that moment, what you thought about me, it didn't matter. At that moment, all that mattered was, I've got to be saved. I've got to be right in the eyes of God. Well, you folks are so dogmatic. Well, what do you want us to be? world's very dogmatic. They're very, very, very sure of what they believe. Why can't the church be that way? In fact, Solomon even said, one generation passeth away, and another cometh. You know what that means? One day you'll die. And there's people coming after you that don't even know and don't even care who you are. I experienced that when I left college. My wife and I were voted most likely to succeed. We weren't even married. We were just dating. Boy, did they miss it. Amen. No, I don't know. But anyway, man, Smalls College, Bible College, man, we were the big fish in a small pond. Man, we were seniors. We had it going on. I went back to visit the next year after graduated. There was a whole new class of freshmen that didn't know who I was and didn't care. And that verse never made more sense to me. Hey, man, when you're long dead and gone, there's another generation come after you that don't even care who you are and what you were all about. All that matters is, what am I doing for Christ and the work of God? God put my life together. God order my steps and lead me and guide me. Oh, let's love the Lord together. Come on, I'm closing. Let's praise Him. Let me hurry. Y'all got me sidetracked and I'm going too long. I want you to picture in your mind with me tonight a young man. He launches his lifeboat upon the troubled sea of toil, competition, and temptation in a big city. He's blessed with the means to be very successful in life. He's determined. He sets out to create a life to be proud of. Money and success are his goals. And so daily he works to be able to enjoy the comforts and the pleasures that life has to offer him. He turns every hour, every acquaintance, every opportunity to the advancement of his goal, his interest, wealth, and success. Enlarging daily his own possessions, securing a high place in society, he succeeds. By midlife, he's rich. In his old age, he becomes extremely wealthy. For 60 years, he's labored and toiled. Countless nights have been spent fishing in life's troubled seas. Money he wanted, money he gained. Success he wanted, success he found. But as the first rays of dawn begin to break over the hills of his life, the hands that have become weary and bruised from toiling all night long, he realizes that money cannot buy that which a man needs most. Money cannot buy forgiveness of sins. Money does not prepare a man for death. Money does not bring the hope of heaven. Money doesn't buy salvation, deliverance, or eternal peace. So the harder they toil, the less they get. And the more they succeed, the more they seem to fail. Now this poor, poor rich man has spent his life laboring for naught. With all of his successes, he's gained nothing that will satisfy an empty soul. He's lived only for the world, and the world's only waiting for him to die and move off the scene and give them his money. Waiting for others to fill his place. For others to enjoy his possessions, others to spend his fortune. And so weary, disappointed, and heartbroken, this old man has toiled all night long and taken nothing. Thus we read the words of Jesus, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Would you hear me tonight? There is no sadder place on earth than the death chamber of a successful worldly man. One who has secured all this world could ever give. And in dying, he must leave all his goods behind him and enter into eternity a poor pauper. But what about you tonight? What's your story? Why don't we take a look at the picture that your life is painting? What have you done to invest not in an earthly kingdom, but in the heavenly kingdom? Someday, one day, that's all that's going to matter. What have I done for God, and not what have I done for me? It's been a long, long night. The Bible said, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. And Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? He was God in flesh. He knew the answer already. It was not a man, really, a question that needed an answer. Really, it was a question that made a statement. Hey, boys, what you been doing all night out there? What have you gained after working all night long? You've been doing it your way all this time. How's it worked out for you? I want to know. Have you caught anything? Are you happy? Are you really happy tonight? Are you really satisfied with where your life is at tonight? That's what Jesus is asking tonight to somebody. Are you happy doing it your way? You have worked all night long. And yet you're so frustrated. And it's nothing but disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. And somewhere deep inside of you, you know there is something saying, God, if I could just have a change in my life. But it's not more money. It's not a better car or a bigger house. And it's not trips. It's not more friends and boyfriends and girlfriends. It's not in the world. It's in Him. Children, have you any meat? And they had to say no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Hey, Peter, why don't you try doing it my way just one time? Hey, Peter, just trust me, son. Quit doing it the wrong way. And let that net down the right side. You have been wasting your time. Do it my way. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And somebody had to say, finally, this is what I've been after all my life. This is what I've been working for all night long. I went up and down life's coastline. I went deeper in sin. I went here. I went there. I did all I knew to do. But yet I caught nothing until I met Jesus. And Jesus said, will you try it my way one time? And aren't you glad you did? Aren't you glad for the night that you came to an altar and you buried your face in an altar and you said, God, forgive me. I'm a dirty, filthy sinner, God. God, forgive me of all of my sins, God. Aren't you glad that all your sins were washed away when you got water baptized according to the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ? Aren't you thankful for the night that God filled you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, evident to speaking in other tongues? As the Spirit of God gave you the utterance, aren't you glad for that night that you brought that net up full of joy, full of peace of mind, full of hope, full of glory, full of a reason to live, full of purpose? That's
God told the prophet Haggai, I want you to pen these words. Consider your ways. You've sown, but you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled. You clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earned the wages to put into a bag with holes. Consider your ways. I want to tell somebody what you're doing with your life is put money in a bag with holes. You're wasting your life. And God is saying, I could use you so greatly in my kingdom. If you would just understand there is a better way. But it all starts at an altar where somebody says, God, I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it your way, God. I want to please you, God. I've been trying to please me all this time, God. I want to please you, God. And if you love him, that's what you'll say tonight. If you really love him, you'll give Jesus a chance to lead and guide you and order your steps. As this church begins to pray, Sister Reed begins to sing. I need some prayer warriors who've been pushing for 5 weeks now to lift your voice and help this preacher pray. I need some young people to step out around this altar right now and say, God, I commit my life to you. Come on, why don't we all come around this altar and close in tonight? Come on, grab somebody, bring them with you tonight. Let's go around the altar, make a personal commitment tonight to pray. God, I want more of you in my life. I purpose my heart, my life to your cause. God, would you come pray? Come on, this is not you accept Christ. You're praying for Christ to accept your prayers. Come on, somebody needs to ask God, forgive me. I hadn't been everything I need to be. God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need your grace and your mercy in my life. I'm wasting my life, God. I'm walking down a dead end road. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let the Holy Ghost touch your life tonight. Let the Holy Ghost touch your heart tonight. It's okay to weep. It's an honor to cry before him. Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. I've been serving me. I've been way too selfish, God. I need you, Jesus. What you want it to be. Oh, Lord, please change me. Oh, change me, dear Lord. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Don't let me stay the same. For hallelujah. I long to be more.
Anybody want God to bless your life? Come on. Come on, let that be your prayer.
Take my life. Make my life.
Come on, young men.
Just what?
Come on. If you're not blessed of God, there's a reason. God, I empty my heart tonight. I empty myself before you. I'm not fighting you, God. I'm not fighting the word. I submit. I submit to you, Jesus.
Oh, change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. And don't let me stay the same. For I long to be more like you. Take my life, make my life.
That's it, that's it. Let the Holy Ghost touch your heart. Open your mouth and talk to him. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you.
Change me.
Oh, that's it, young people. Come on. Come on, young people.
Change me, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, don't let me stay the same, for I long to be more like you. Take my life and make my life.
Come on, that's it, young man. Let there be a Holy Ghost zeal get hold of you.
Oh, Lord, please change me. Oh, change me, dear Lord. Change me, Lord. Oh, change me, Lord. Don't let me stay the same, for I long to be more like you. Take my life, make my life just what you want it to be. Oh Lord, please change me. Oh, change me, dear Lord. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Don't let me stay the same, for I long to be more like you. Take my life, make my life just what you want it to be. Oh Lord, please change me. Change me, dear Lord.
Oh, come on, sing it one more time. Hallelujah.
Change me, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Change me, Lord. Don't let me stay the same, for I long to be more like you. Oh, take my life and make my life, oh, just what you want it to be. Oh Lord, please change me. Oh, change me, dear Lord. Change me, Lord.
I'd like all the young people that you want the hand of God on your life and you want God to use you and order your steps, I want you to come stand in front of this pulpit here tonight. It's not a have to. It just means I want the hand of God on my life. Come on, spread out here. Spread out. Just the young people, just the youth group. Come on, if you're in, come on. Now listen, I want you to listen to me. One of the best things you could ever do is put your life on the altar. Put your life in the hand of God and let God order your steps. Every day, God, order my steps. I told y'all that Kip, when we go somewhere, you know, he's a boy. He's all boy. I put my hand on his head sometimes when we're walking through a crowd. Because where that head turns is where them feet are going to go. And I just steer him like a little remote control car. And man, we can weave our way through traffic. Or sometimes I can put my finger behind that shirt collar and just, easy. Whoa, boy. I'm putting the reins on him. I'm telling you, you got to pray, God, put that hand on my head. I'm 41 years old. I had to think about it. I'm 41 years old. I still pray, God, put your hand on my head.
put that finger in my collar, God, and just order me and lead me and guide me. Because if he ever takes that, I pray, God, please don't take your hand off me. God, keep your hand on me. Don't let me make a mistake. Don't, you ought to be praying, God, don't let me marry the wrong spouse. Don't let me take the wrong job. God, don't let me go the wrong way. Let God peace your, because God can do a whole lot better job with your life than you can do. Does that make sense? And God can take a man with a third grade education, and God can bless his life. Now, we're going to make it easy on God and not do that. But what I'm saying is if you'll just let God order your steps and don't fight God with this carnal flesh, take that wheel, throw it on the altar every day and every service. Say, God, I'm yours. You watch how God will smile on your pathway and God use you. Start praying, God, I'd like to play the bass. Pray, God, touch my mind, touch my hands. God will do it. I'd like to learn the piano, the organ. God will touch your mind and touch your hands. God, you give me the voice. God, I'll be a worship leader. God will touch you. Just start praying. God, use me for your kingdom's sake. God, give me a good job to where I can support the work of God more. There, I done got on money again. But you like your paycheck every week too, don't you? Because that's what makes the world go round. Yeah, well, they're not giving away churches and parking lots, and they're not giving that stuff away. You know, these nice lights, they don't just turn those on for free. The heat and the AC, they don't just donate that to the church. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And there's a group of young people here that God can wants to raise up to be pillars and be a strength to their pastor and a blessing. It's not, you're not too young to start thinking. We've got to create a mindset, church, a culture of success for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And, oh boy, don't you tell these kids you're no good and you're nothing. You'll never be nothing. I hope God knocked the voice out of your head. You better tell them. Just like they tell them every day, here is where the Lord our God is one. You tell them, hey man, you're going to be something and God's going to use you. I got a daughter that wants to be a doctor. You know what I'm saying? Man, baby, I'm behind you. I'm behind you. Let's do it. God, I'm for you. Come on. I'll dream with you, honey. Push them. Be something for God. Amen. God, I want to be something for your glory, God. Amen. God's going to do that. I want you parents to get around and help. Let's pray for these young people. Amen. Let's sing, sis. Amen. I want some of you men gather around. Some of you ladies gather around. If you don't want to gather around, just stretch forth your hands. I want God to put his hand upon these young men and these young ladies tonight. Come on. Come on. I want you boys. I want you to tell God I surrender. From tonight on, my life's on the altar. Come on. Use me. Use me. Use me. Use me. Use me. Use me, Jesus. Yatariana Mokoto Tomo Shata Lamakata. Come on, that's it. Let God raise up a generation that thinks differently, that walks different, that's got a mindset not like this world has.
to be. Oh Lord, please change me. Change me, dear Lord. Oh, change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Don't let me stay the same. Change me, dear.